Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we're here for season one, episode five, called Tan Lines. Sorry.
We're just talking about tan lines.
I have nothing to say about tan lines. I rarely get them.
So that's because going outside is important.
For other people. For me, personally, not so much.
All right. Well, and, you know, I am excited to be doing this. We are kind of going off book for us in a way, because instead of just, you know, buzz binging with, you know, whatever we usually do, we are going to actually binge record this time, which is a little crazy.
It's kind of like what we did with the Deathly Hallows parts 1 and 2, but this time with 5 episodes.
Well, 5 short episodes, so yeah, that's shorter. Something. But also we are having, like, we're going to probably have some, like, food and stuff because, you know, it's a long slog, as they say.
And the reason for this is because I'm back home for the weekend. And
so why not? So why not?
And for a couple hours, why not be rewarded with tea and talking about Ted Lasso?
Right. And so we are, as we often are, the buzzed part of this particular episode is all about caffeine. Because we are both having tea.
Yes. I'm getting low on tea.
Already? Man, this
is really good tea.
Yeah. Okay. So explain to our listeners what you're having.
I am having a tea called Emperor's Bride. Now listen, this tea is freaking fantastic. Sorry, I might as well get the ball rolling. By the way, disclaimer, we do curse. This is fucking fantastic tea. We're running low now.
We're very low.
I don't even know if the tea room we have in town even, does it still exist?
I think it's part of a bookstore right now.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, so as long as we can get more of this, it's great. But, I'm having Emperor's Bride tea. It is, I believe, a black tea.
Oh, we used to have the description on it. Oh, well.
I think that just we're putting it in the bag. But, it is
a black tea.
It is so good. I can't even describe how good it is.
It's kind of sweet. It's got a little bit of, like, pineapple and stuff in it. It is, if you've had, like, Princess Breakfast at Disney World, it's a lot like that.
It does taste a bit like Princess Breakfast. I haven't had that in a while. But, it does taste like that. But my mom's tea is a little bit easier to describe. But oh my gosh, shout out to Teavana. We had this big Teavana phase and we just forgot about it. But it is a loose tea that we got. So we put it in the Teavana little things and then put it on our cup and it strained all of it. And it's really, really good. So usually we use, like, either Keurig pods or tea bags. But for this, it's loose. So we did that. And yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. And we're also having scones that my mom made and clotted cream from scratch.
Yes.
And, both of them technically from scratch.
But, both of them are from scratch.
And they're amazing. And we also have, like, we have clotted cream and a little bit of raspberry preserves. So.
Yeah. So
that's yours.
Despite the fact that I have been kind of like, oh, I don't really do tea. This is a lie.
A lie.
So, I
had a Teavana phase.
I've had a major Teavana phase because we both kind of got into tea and I love loose tea primarily. and I have to apologize. I do have a cough. Not COVID. It's just a thing right now.
And I'm just here.
I apologize.
I'm healthy.
So,
knock on wood.
Having some water. I think I had a little scone in there too.
This is a preview for what the rest of the podcast is going to be like.
I hope not. I'm having Dragon Pearl Jasmine Tea, and most people have heard of jasmine tea. It is a green tea. The dragon pearls are not that unusual if you do loose tea. They are basically the jasmine tea leaves that are, like, balled up. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is when you put hot water on them, they expand and the flavor comes out. And it's a very rich smelling, very kind of grassy floral kind of tea. Mm-hmm. And it is lovely. No, we have another one downstairs.
Oh, thank goodness.
But we are very, very low on Emperor's Bride. So, but we did, like, get these, like, Teavana perfect tea things. There was a phase that I was like having, you know, like different teas for different times of day to set moods and stuff like that. It was really kind of crazy.
It was crazy, but I really enjoyed it because we got to try different kinds of tea.
We did. And Teavana had like the greatest stuff, and now Teavana's closed and I'm very sad.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Aww. I think you can get stuff online, but it's not the same.
No, that's a shame. But we got what we got, and I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with it too. Loose tea, by the way, I do think it's significantly better. So, than like Keurig and whatever. They're convenient, but loose tea is
it tastes different.
Yeah, it tastes
better. Hits different, but I still kind of prefer the convenience of
a
tea bag or even better Keurig.
Well, and I have to disagree with
sorry.
Old Ted that this is just brown water. It is not, and there's a lot of variation and all of those things. So I really love having tea, and I love clotted cream. You know, you see Rebecca with her biscuit obsession. It's like, yeah, I kind of feel that way about clotted cream. It's one of those things you don't get in the U.S. unless you make it yourself.
Like real clotted cream.
Yeah, real clotted cream, because there are all these pasteurization issues and that kind of stuff. And
much like Italian wines. Like, it's not quite the same.
It's not quite the same, so...
Yeah, so that's that. We do have some disclaimers.
Sorry.
Yeah, so this is going to be our big, like, this is what we're talking about. We might, like, just for the people who have just listened to, like, each of the individual episodes after this, the next five are going to be us doing the exact same thing, maybe with a little bit of change, but these are basically the drinks that we're going to be having for the next five, but we will introduce those briefly. This is just our main dirge about, like, all of that stuff. I don't even know if that's the right term, but I just woke up. So.
It's not. So, okay. our main setup or explanation of what we're having. And we may add some additional things later, but we do want to get right into it because
there's so much
to cover.
Disclaimers. We do curse, as I said before, and there will be spoilers for at least Ted Lasso season one.
Yeah.
So proceed with caution if that matters to you.
Exactly. So
because it does not matter to us.
No. Honestly, this show, it's so incredibly dense. And I think we've talked about how dense the writing is. There's a lot to unpack, even in just little tiny things. And so, you know, we both watched episode 5 through 10, and so my notes are kind of all over, they're not all over the place, but I'm not sure if, like, some of the little nuances I'm going to remember are from the right episode or not, so please don't hold it against us.
I tried to, like, make sure I, like, got the plot points down, but I kind of got lazy after watching 5 episodes.
So here we go. We are binge recording. So it starts, season 1, episode 5 is called Tan Lines, and it starts with that wishing and hoping song.
I love
song.
That song.
I do too.
It's such a good song.
It is. And I love
that we both made a note of that.
It's great.
I think it really captures Ted well in general. And then, so there's a really cute moment with Higgins and his family outside.
It's so passive aggressive.
His wife is dropping him off, and she's talking about, well, you need to, like, tell your boss, fuck her, or something like that. And,
she does it in this, like, kind of roundabout passive aggressive way. Oh, tell her that she's just fabulous, and you don't need a raise at all, or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's almost sarcastic.
And then she's just like, all right, boys, say goodbye. And they're just like, oh. And so, he has this, like, the three of his boys in the back at that point, so they go in, and then we find out that Ted's family is coming from America to visit, and it's revealed through, like, Ted talking to Rebecca, because in the previous episode, Rebecca opened up to Ted about her relationship with Rupert, and so he feels comfortable explaining stuff to her. Well, he's always really felt comfortable explaining stuff to her, but there's a reason that she's kind of, like, being more receptive now.
Right, she's like, oh, I have to do this, right? Is this reciprocal? Crap.
Yeah, and then, so he reveals that his wife and him have tried couples counseling, and that he's being very open about that, but, and they also revealed that, Oklahoma is their safe word,
honesty word.
Their honesty word to, like, make, whenever one of them says Oklahoma, they have to tell the truth, and he said it ruined the musical for him, so whenever he hears, oh, what a beautiful morning, or sir, with a French on top, he just, like, feels like he's obligated to tell the truth.
Well, or just he expects something awful is going to come out of someone else's mouth, too. It's just really...
When he's listing all these like numbers from Oklahoma, Rebecca's like, "Oh, shall we dance?" And he's like, "Oh no, that's from The King and I." I freaking love these musical references because I'm a theater kid, so I really do appreciate them coming at me like this. It's
right.
Wonderful.
And it is kind of great too because if you look up the actress who plays Rebecca, she is a musical theater person too.
And you see a little bit of that later on.
Right.
But,
so,
yeah.
It is really very cool. Aside from also being accepted at Unella, which, you know, shame. Rebecca, Keeley shows up.
Oh, before that, he reveals that his optimism is too much for his wife. And that's one of the main, like, things that are kind of getting in between them, which... What can you do about that, to be honest? Like, it's kind of sad because you can't really think about... So you want him to be pessimistic. Like, he gets a lot of mixed signals from what she wants, but it kind of conflicts with, like, who he is deep down as a person.
Right.
So it's a lot deeper than a lot of, like, the stuff you usually see in television.
Right. And it is part of the theme here, too. I think, you know, Ted's got a lot of... He represses a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the sense that... It can't stay like that forever.
No.
And so it, you know, because he is so actively looking for the bright side of things. And that's a lovely quality to have, but it is very hard to bottle those things up forever.
Yeah.
So
I bottle things up too. It's fun.
No, not really.
Although it's not fun when they all come tumbling out, but
yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
Then you see Keeley go to Jamie's house after they've been broken up for 24 hours. To return his key, and he sees that he's already had sex with another girl.
There's actually a girl who's there.
Yeah, in her bra, and, like, just doing whatever, getting something from the fridge, and she's a big fan of Keeley's.
Yes, like, she fangirls on her, and Keeley's kind of like, what the fuck is this?
Well, Keeley doesn't even explode on him. She's just like, wow, 24 hours later, and you've already, like, found someone to sleep with you. It's just like, well, you thought I was going to shower alone? I'm like, dude, Jesus Christ.
He's so ridiculous.
He's such a dick.
Yeah, I hate him.
It's like, well, thank you for making me feel so good about my decision to break up with you. And he says, you're welcome. And I'm just like, dude. What the hell?
Dude.
But she's still going to be there for his promo shoot that she set up for him. So.
Yeah. So.
She's still kind of acting like as a manager of some sort for him.
Yeah. Well, right. She's doing all the promotional stuff for the club. For the Richmond.
Well, no, specifically for Jamie at this point.
Right. Oh, she has? Okay.
Yeah, no, she hasn't done anything.
Never mind, I'm getting ahead of myself. So, so they go to work, and Ted is calling Jamie out for not making an extra pass to Sam.
Well, it's actually kind of funny the way that, like, this kind of comes about. Like, they're trying to do, like, the trick play where, instead of Jamie being passed, like, instead of Jamie going for the goal, he passes it to Sam to score the goal.
Right,
they're trying that play. But Jamie's just being a dick and not doing anything like that, and so he doesn't pass to him. And then, well, it also, there's a random thing about, like, Ted liking having his peanut butter open on his counter so that he can just, like, put a finger in and just have a little bit of peanut butter.
I'm all about the peanut butter.
It is. And then, so, when they talk about, and Roy approves of that, Jamie does say a kind of funny line that leads to an even funnier bit is, well, Sam is open, but he's still shit. And then Sam just runs up and is like, I heard my name. What's going on? And he's just such a sweetheart.
So innocently nice. And, you know, but he's also somebody who can easily be damaged. Because he is kind of an open book on so many levels.
And then Ted sees his family at the other end of the pitch, and he starts running to them. And Coach Beard's like, it's a longer run than he thought. And he's like, well, I thought you were going to catch, like, meet me halfway, but it's okay. And I love this interaction. You got teeth now. And, like, his son's like, I already had teeth. And he's like, and you can talk. I love it so much.
Yeah, I mean, he's almost, like, faking that he hasn't seen him since he was a little tiny child.
Mm-hmm.
And it is sweet the way he interacts with his son. I mean, that is really, really lovely.
It's how you would assume that he would interact with him as well.
Yeah, yeah. Higgins is then talking to Rebecca, and they talk about how the club is facing relegation.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, this big explanation because none of us really understand the whole relegation thing.
Spoiler alert, we're from the U.S., so...
Yeah, exactly.
That doesn't happen here.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, What they're talking about is there are tiers of football clubs in the UK, and you know, whether you are, you know, the top tier of the Premier League, you get all of the sponsors and all the money and all the other stuff. And if you're in bottom tier, you don't.
Yeah. I mean, and you go like down to the lower level.
Right. And so you're not playing the better teams. You're not getting the sponsors. You're not getting the money. And, you know, people kind of, you know, lose faith in, you know, their team and their loyalty. So
yeah,
it's a really big deal, especially from a money perspective. And so they are really worried about it, because then, you know, you've got to pay the players and you've got to pay the staff,
yeah,
and just all of that.
A lot of upkeep. And then you go over to Jamie's promo thing where he's like promoting some beer, and he says that he has a tattoo on his arm that is the Chinese word for arm. How stupid is
he
that?
He's such a tool. I swear, he's just the worst. And then
Rebecca and Keely are talking to each other on the sidelines, and I don't really know what Rebecca said before, but Keely's like, I love that you care, though. I would kiss you on the mouth if I could reach those lips.
Yeah, because, like, Keely's not a very tall person, and
Rebecca's so tall.
Yeah, she's
very
tall.
I love their friendship, though.
Yeah,
it's
so
adorable. Cute.
It is adorable. Rebecca then talks to her about, hey, why don't you do brand stuff for the other players?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why don't you work on branding them?
And Keely also says, well, I'm sort of famous for almost being famous.
Yeah, because, and I think that was kind of my turn off with her. It was almost like, not exactly, but like kind of like a Kardashian thing. She's, you know,
Paris Hilton. At least she's like a model. Well, not that the Kardashians aren't, but like, I don't know. It just felt... I think that's the point, and I love that they point it out. And
yeah,
I think that's another thing that like made me like Keely more, because
again, she is self-aware.
She's very self-aware,
yes.
And you don't see that at the beginning. But you, once like she opens up to like Ted, and well, she's a very open person, but like about certain things about her, not necessarily everything, which is kind of how a human being works. But like,
right,
which again, like
they are willing to share certain things.
But in TV character,
right,
it's usually like played for laughs or whatever, but she...
They're usually one-dimensional, really.
Yeah, but she actually has dimensions.
Right, right. And I think that again, you, she had been hiding her intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
She had been hiding, you know, a whole lot of stuff. And you get the idea as this progresses that, you know, here is someone who's, like, learned to play a certain game, but kind of has outgrown it.
Yeah, and she's switching tactics now, and now she's looking more at branding for other people and maybe marketing them instead of marketing herself. And I think that's a really good change for her. I really do like that. And so then you see Ted and his family going to the pub, and he's trying
so
to,
cute!
But he's also trying to explain to him, it's just like, oh, this is Chips.
His son.
Explain to his son. Oh, chips are, fries are chips here. Chips are crisps. And bangers are not great songs. I love it. And the pub trio approaches Ted and insult him, but when Ted's like, well, this
is... a wanker.
Yeah, and then it's just like, well, this is my wife, Mrs. Lasso, and then they're just like, oh, nice to meet you, Miss Lasso.
They're very
like,
polite.
And she's just like, great recovery.
Oh, and there, I think it happens later in this episode. His son asks what a wanker is, and his explanation is like... I love it. It's so priceless.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's like... always looking on the bright side of life, kind of thing. He's just that guy.
Yeah, and lunch with his wife is a bit awkward, but they still, I don't know, you can tell they're both trying really hard, but there's still that disconnect that you can see very clearly, but they're not, it's not like too obvious, but it, at the same time, it's like still deep down there, and you can see it if you look at the subtext of stuff. And then you have his son playing darts, and then he hits one of the trio, like the nice guy of the trio, and he hits
with a dart.
Yeah, and it's just like, oh well, it hit my arm, so oh no,
oh, yeah, it hurt.
Yeah,
really funny. But actually, that was the one thing that the bartender, the lady who owns the bar, the pub, had told him not to. Just don't hit any of the regulars. And
he did, but at least he hit the nice regular.
Yeah,
and then. we go over to Jamie and Keely.
He's hitting on Keely again.
Again, and it's just like, oh, you could come over and look over press naked. And she's just like, no.
And he's like, well, at least, like, get in my car. And she's like, hard no. Yeah. And she's trying to explain to him, and he, you know, like, no, this is our pattern. We're not doing that.
Yeah,
no.
I'm not doing that. And then Roy comes up to her after Jamie leaves and is criticizing her, like, criticizing the fact that Keely chooses to be with Jamie. But
well,
then
he says good choice, though.
What?
Good choice to say hard no.
Oh, yeah, no, exactly. It's just like, why you choose to be with that prick, I will never know. And then she's just like, listen, I'm not with him anymore. And he's like, oh, I'm really sorry.
He's like, good choice. And then she's like, well, so what's your point? Why were you bringing this up with me? I mean, she knows that he has a thing for her.
She can tell, but also she's just like, well,
she wants to get to the point, Dana.
Well, she's just like, so I need to text you every time I make a decision? And then he's just like, no.
He's like trying to justify. He's like, well, I have to deal with Jamie too.
Yeah, while she's walking away, he's just like, well, I have to deal with that prick in practice. And then she texts him. It's just like about if she should go to the bathroom or not, just to like prove her point.
Right. I mean, it is. You know, she is getting under his skin, and he doesn't know how to handle it.
I say nobody, but people can get under his skin, but very few people know how to really, really get under there. Like, he can get mad, but, to really bug him, but not make him mad, but, like, frustrated. I think it's funny. And then you go over to Ted and his son, who are building a double-decker bus out of Legos, which I just love.
Well, I do, too, because y'all had made me the night bus.
Yes.
In Legos. And what's funny is, like, the mom's like, well, we could go get on the bus. It's like, no, we got to make it first.
Yeah. It's a good lesson. We have to make it first, and then we go.
Yeah,
and
it's like, no, I would
so
not.
The mom joins in, and it's
I'd
a really
be totally
cute,
the mom.
It's a really cute montage of, like, them playing with this and putting it together, and it's really cute. And you can tell they're just all really happy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see the peanut butter thing happen with Ted, mm-hmm. who just, like, walks by and he takes it. And after he's gotten and gotten coffee the next morning, and he, like, notices that his wife, Michelle, I didn't even realize that was her name until
he said
it. I didn't
either. I'm glad you wrote it down.
She is kind of looking out the window, and he's just like, hey. And then you can tell she's crying. And and she says that she wishes that she would wake up and feel the same way that she did at the beginning of their relationship. But she'll just keep trying because she feels like that's the only thing that she can do. Which is so sad.
Right, and he's just, you know, he doesn't know how to recreate it.
Yeah.
I mean...
And he doesn't want to make her unhappy.
Right.
But he doesn't know how to make her happy while they're still in the relationship.
Well, and the reality is you can't go back, ever. I mean, that is just a life lesson. It's like, you know, you cannot expect your whole life to be that first flush of whatever. And I think that that's really... sad. Because, mm-hmm. you know, he's one of those people who can make things... who goes out of his way to, like, make things new or try stuff from a different angle or whatever.
He's really willing to try new things, but none of these things seem to be working for both of them at the same time, and it's really unfortunate.
Right.
And he talks to Coach Beard and stuff like
and
that.
Nate.
And then he basically said that being around is doing more harm than good, according to his therapist, so he moved to and like took the job here in the UK just to give them some space, but apparently it wasn't enough space, even though it was like, and Nate like knows how many miles it was.
Yeah, because his dad was a cartographer,
which is fantastic.
It's hilarious, but he starts spouting like random facts about cartography, and it's like,
mm-hmm.
damn.
And then Higgins like pops in, and he says that as long as you're if you're in the right person, even the hard times are easy.
Right,
which
because Higgins has been married for, what, 20-some-odd years?
20-something years, yeah.
And they've got, like, 5 kids, 2 dogs, a cat, you know,
right.
just all this
yeah.
stuff.
Well,
in, like,
a cat close to death.
Yeah, cat close
which
to death.
Which will come into play later because I have a note about that. But.
Right, but, I mean, they're, like, all in this little small house, and, you know, boss who hates him, you know, that kind of stuff. It's like, yeah, I know about tough times, but, you know, I'm with the right person.
Yeah.
And it's going to be fine.
Yeah. And so then it's the day of the game, and they're in the locker room, and Jamie doesn't join in on the team chant or whatever, and so...
Jamie is taking a selfie! He's a dickhead. He's okay, not just not joining in. He's saying, like, I'm fabulous.
Listen, I don't think taking a selfie is immediately like, oh, you're a dick. But, like, yeah, in this case, yes.
Well, I mean, and you know, I know that you're of the Instagram generation where you take selfies just for random reasons.
I don't, but okay.
But whatever. I mean, I think you see people and you don't judge that in the way that, like, someone who is an adult in this generation judges it. It's like, you know, you're supposed to be doing a group thing. And
I'm not saying it's not rude.
Instead, you're, like, obsessed with yourself.
No, I know that, Mom.
And I think
just
that
not,
is a really...
I'm just saying that out of context, taking a selfie does not immediately mean you're a dick.
But you'd already said that he wasn't participating. It's like, not participating.
But without... It doesn't matter. Anyway, so Ted approaches him and is just like, hey, why didn't you join the team chat? It's like, listen, I'm not going to be, like, I'm going to do my thing. Y'all are going to do your own. And I'm just going to be fabulous and I'm just going to do all this.
Right, he starts singing his Jamie Tart song, which is the baby shark.
I hate it so much.
Oh my God, it is hilarious.
It drives home how awful he is.
Yes.
By making the most annoying song on earth.
Yes.
And the most repetitive song on earth. Well, no, just repeated. I stop. I can't deal with it right now. So, basically, yeah, he does that. And then,
6 minutes.
Well, no, also, Ted's son comes in, and he's just like, oh my gosh, Jamie Tart, can you sign my jersey? And then he signs it, and he's just like, when I score a goal, it's just going to be for the two of us. And it's just like, that's nice if you don't think about the subtext.
Right.
So then you go to the actual match, and the other team scores, and you hear, this is at the pub with the trio. The other team scores, everyone's yelling wanker, and then the nice guy, Paul, I think that's his name, says, nice family, though. And then and then one of the other guys is like, damn it, Paul, don't humanize him. I love it so much.
Yeah, it's really cute.
And then Jamie scores a goal and then starts yelling me. Because he's that...
Yeah. He's obsessed with himself. Yeah, and then Sam gets hurt. And Jamie's an ass to him. I mean,
He steps over him,
like, let's go on with the play. And Sam's like... And it's actually kind of cute. Roy Kent is so pissed at Jamie, he hits him.
Well, yeah, no, they get in a fight, and then they both get yellow carded.
Yeah, they both get yellow carded, but then Roy goes to Sam and tells him how to look like he's just playing through.
Well,
like,
Sam
like, talks him through, like, this is how you cover for the fact that you're not really injured.
No, it's so funny, because, like, Sam's just still curled up in a ball, and then Roy comes up and is like, Sam, you okay? And then he's just like, I don't know what they're, like, making such a fuss about. Like, I'm fine. I just don't want to get up now.
Yeah.
I just don't know what to do. And then Roy's just like, okay. He starts, like, helping him up. He's like, wait. Limp a little bit, and then act like you, like, wave to the crowd and act like you're ready to go on despite this big, like,
pain.
Injury.
Yeah.
And through the pain. And then it's like, the crowd will love it. And then they do. It's fantastic. And then, Ted has this idea, and he goes up to Rebecca in the stands, and he mentions that he wants to bench Jamie.
Yeah.
It's the very end of the half, so it's not really going to do much now, but he wants to bench him. And to kind of send a message. And so everyone's really confused and really upset because Jamie's the only one who's scored so far.
Right.
And so it's like, oh God, what are we going to do? And so one of the, we go to halftime and we go to the locker room. And one of the players, this is a really cute thing I noticed, one of the players at the end of the bench, I think it's, ooh, what's his name? I don't even know. I have a note later on with his name, but he makes a little bit of room on the bench for Nate.
Yes.
And it's so sweet.
Yeah. I mean, they're finally, like, acting like a real team. Mm. With the exception, of course, of Jamie Tart.
Stop.
Yeah, I know.
And
so,
then, basically, he gets
Ted,
a pep talk about embracing change.
Wilson. Yeah.
And then he mentions puberty and his art teacher who he found attractive and all that stuff.
It's the first time I saw tan lines.
Yes. And then And Ted realizes in the midst of his speech that he maybe needs to just let his wife go to let her be happy.
Yeah.
And it's and it's really
yeah,
sweet.
You
and
gotta
then
embrace change.
As they're gathering around to look at the plays for the next half of the game, Roy, as they're approaching, Roy says, "I never really liked Chart," and then Sam's like, "We know, Roy." I love that so much.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, and so you know, they go into the second half, and Sam gets a goal to win.
Well, to be clear, Roy passes to him,
yeah,
and then he gets a goal, because yeah, teamwork means you work together.
Teamwork makes the dream work, people.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the pub just explodes.
Yes.
It's just so lovely.
And they score the winning goal, and
yeah,
Nate jumps on Ted, and then he passes him to Coach Beard.
I'm just so happy. Yeah, well, he jumps on him like he's being hugged or something,
yeah,
like a little child.
Yeah, he just like latches onto him, and then they're cheering Wanker instead of yelling and
yeah,
chanting it, and
yeah,
it's in a good way. It's a different meaning.
Yeah.
And his son asks
yeah,
about what a wanker is, and he says,
like,
"A man who likes to be alone with his thoughts."
Yes, it's like, well, that is true.
And then we go over to
and Rebecca is sad at this point, because she's
yes,
like, oh shit.
They won. That's not supposed to happen.
Well, and especially after pulling Jamie, it's like, oh shit, you know, I really thought pulling Jamie would like really, you know, tear this place apart, which is what she wants,
mm-hmm,
or ostensibly wants.
Yes. Then you go over to
Keely and Roy in the parking lot.
Oh no, there's a little bit before this. They're kind of like cut in between.
Mm-hmm.
They cut between Ted and his wife talking outside
yes,
of the car in the rain. And you also see that Ted's son is playing with the schoolgirl with the soccer ball, and it's really cute.
Yeah.
And then you go to Roy, and Roy sneaks up on Keely in the parking lot, and he's like, "Did I scare you?" And it's like, "You snuck up on a woman in a parking lot at night. Well done, Roy."
Yeah, exactly.
And they're so awkward that I love it. It's so cute.
Yeah. But you know, they do cut in between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And Ted is talking to his wife, and you know, he's like, "I wouldn't change a thing. It's okay.
You don't have to try.
You don't
anymore.
Have to keep trying."
And he wants her to be happy. And
she's like, "Well, I don't want to quit." And he's like, "It's not quitting. It's just letting go."
Mm-hmm. And then it's a very, very powerful scene. It's very emotional. I think
yeah,
it's so much better than, like, when TV, like, it's so interesting, the different ways that TV shows try to break up a couple. Because you have to wonder, first of all, what's the reason? And then you see the method in which they do that. And I know you didn't watch Glee, but there's one episode.
More Glee than I should have.
Well, there is one episode in particular in season 4, so spoiler alert for Glee, where in one episode, I think 3 major couples break up for very different reasons.
Mm.
One is because, like, it was abandonment kind of thing and stuff like that. The other one was because they cheated for absolutely no goddamn reason. And then the other one was just, like, they're drifting apart. I'm not going to say who. But, spoiler. But, so, it's so weird because I think they just wanted it for drama. I don't think they wanted to do anything different with the characters. They just wanted to break them up. So
that's the entirety of Glee.
Exactly. And so, and much like with other, like, teen dramas and stuff, it's usually like, oh, this person's just going to cheat just because. But for this one, or, like, especially, like, in a major relationship, like, and this is the only real relationship other than Jamie and Keely and Rupert and Rebecca that you see. Rebecca has already been, like, had, like, affairs going on in her relationship, and that makes sense, like, with their dynamic, the way that things work. And then you see, but with Ted and Michelle, it makes sense for them, this be the reason that they're breaking up, instead of one being like, "Oh, well, I'm in love with Pierre from France. I'm going to leave him for, like, leave you for him."
Oh, Emily and Paris,
something,
yeah,
something like that. But it's just like, it's not, it makes sense, and it's more of a human reason to break up than, oh, we just need them to break up, so they're just going to have a fight, or they're just going to have, also the aspect of having a child as well. They both want to try and make this work,
yeah,
but you can tell that they're just, neither of them are really getting enough happiness out of the relationship to just make it work. Ted being mature and selfless enough to be like, "Okay, I'm not going to be selfish anymore. You are not happy in this relationship. We're not quitting. We're letting go, and we're going to make sure this works." So they leave on good terms.
Right.
And so, which is very important, especially if you have a child in the mix and stuff like that. It's just they understand that that's what needs to be done to keep both of them, leave on the right note.
Right. So, I agree with you. I think one of the things, though, about this is that this whole incident, you know, he's trying to do the right thing. He knows what the right thing is. But it has much deeper emotional repercussions for him that we start to see later. So they bubble up later.
Yeah.
He represses this, but you know, at heart, Ted's kind of a romantic. You know, he wants this perfect, happy, idyllic thing. He can see it. It's achievable. He believes that by doing all these positive things, it can happen. You know, usually the core of that is like a family. You know, you start there and then you kind of branch out and whatever. And he's been doing that. He's been making that work with, you know, his teams that he's coached and his kids that he's coached. And he looks for the best thing and tries to improve them as humans and blah, blah, blah. But I think on some level, and it starts to come to the surface later, he feels failure in this, and it really hurts.
And he's able to deal with failure in different ways. With like, if they lose a match, he's able to learn from it and do that kind of stuff. But it's kind of hard when it's so hit so close to home, and it's a big thing that you feel you failed somebody, especially someone you cared about so much and you loved.
Yeah,
like you feel like you failed them, and it hits a lot harder than if you just lose a match in soccer or football or whatever.
Yes. And so they, she leaves the end of the episode is actually, he's crying and he's sitting in the rain. And Coach Beard brings him a pint of beer, and it's like raining into his pint.
Yeah, and then he starts just like drinking, and they just kind of sit on the bench, just like contemplating what just happened, and he's letting it sink in, but he doesn't really want it to sink in quite yet. But he's gonna
One of the things I love about his relationship with Coach Beard, and again, you know, there's so little verbal.
Coach Beard
just like. Yeah, I mean, because they've got this like unspoken teamwork. This is how we do things. We don't have to talk about
it is a
what
friendship.
Needs to happen. Yeah, for sure.
It's a really strong friendship that they have, and it gets to a point with like a lot of people's friendships where you don't really have to say anything.
Right.
You can just be there, and that's enough. And the little like things that he's done for him, like handing him the pint in the rain, sitting next to him, just being there for him.
Yeah.
Ted. And it's not even like a friendship where it's just like, oh, we're that kind of sounds weird, but like outright stating, oh, you're my best friend, I love you, blah, 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 blah. No.
Guys generally don't do that, I'm just telling you.
Well, I know, for Ted at least, he seems like the guy who would probably be a little bit more like out there about that kind of stuff.
Right.
But he,
more verbal.
Yeah, more verbal, but he knows that with the relationship he does have with Coach Beard, he doesn't need to because Coach Beard knows.
Well, and Beard's not that guy.
Beard
is the strong, silent type kind of guy. Although he, you know, the things that come out with him are just
fantastic. But
they're hilarious.
It's a really sweet moment to end the episode on. And so that's the end. Do you have the best part?
I would say, and it's partly because I just so love the Roy Kent Keeley relationship.
It gets better.
It does. It does.
There's one scene in particular coming up that I'm obsessed with.
Oh yeah, it's great. And I know I'm pretty sure we're talking about the same thing, but
we'll find out.
Love that kind of like him being like, shit, she understands me. Wait, no, stop it. No, I have a reason that doesn't have anything to do with you. You know? I love that about the two of them. So I would say that's probably my favorite thing in this episode. I do love how nuanced and real the breakup is for Ted. But I hate people breaking up, so
I hate it. Oh my gosh, it's painful and it's very emotional to watch.
Yeah, so I'm not sure I can.
It made me
want to
cry because, like, they both of the actors did a fantastic job.
They did. I mean, I just can't put that as a best part just because I hate people breaking up.
For me, Ted and his family, just seeing their interactions together, especially him and his son, is really sweet. Roy and Keeley, obviously. And Roy and Sam. I really love that Roy sticks up for Sam and all the other players, because that's what a good leader does. And I just love how his interactions with him and, like, imparting some knowledge to him. And you can tell that his conversation with Jamie at the gala did sink in a little bit, so he's trying to act a little less high and mighty and more, like, trying to, like, get people to understand where he's coming from. And I think he's also trying to break that barrier with Keeley as well, so, or in his own way. But I do really love that. What's your worst part?
My worst part for this one...
I have mine.
Okay, go ahead.
Jamie. Just Jamie.
Well, I mean, I might put it as the Jamie selfie particularly, because
that particular moment.
Whatever. I say this because they juxtapose it immediately with him being okay with Ted's son.
Yeah.
Like, well, he knows how to act to the outside world. He knows what is expected of him. He can do it. He's just too much of a dick to do it. And I hate that about him.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, that's where I see it. So...
Yeah, okay, good.
I would give this a B. This is not my favorite. Yeah, this is not my favorite episode. No. It's not. I mean, I liked it, but I don't, there are other episodes that I love, and I would not put this as my favorite.
I gave it an A minus.
Did you really?
I did. I really like the different, it's setting the stage for a couple of different relationships that I really enjoy later on, but just even as a contained episode, I really love the arc with Ted, and I like that you get to see Ted and his relationships outside of the workplace, and you get a little bit of a glance at, like, his relationship with Coach Beard sometimes when they're just at the pub alone or doing something like that, but it's usually work-related. I like that you get to see him more as a human being, even though he, like, acts like a human being regardless, but you get to see him more vulnerable when he's with his wife and his kid, and you get to see, like, where all of the, like, his optimism, he's trying to, like, do his best by people, and it starts with his family.
Right, but he does it everywhere, and that's really kind of cool. He's kind of the same in all venues.
Yeah, well, again, it's the vulnerability that I think that I really like, that they showcase that, and you get to see a lot of that later on, and... I really love Roy and Keeley, but there are way better episodes for them later on, so I might actually dip it to a B+ for this one. But, like, I do love some of the humor in this. Like, again, Broadway humor always gets to me. I really do love this one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Well, awesome. So we are going to roll. I mean, we're not going to roll. We're going to actually end this episode. And then we're going to, like, just keep recording. So anyway, we are hopeful that you will continue to tune in with us. Continue to be all happy and positive, and join us.
Cheers.